How are small businesses in Maine faring? Labor Day used to mark the end of the tourism season in Maine. Some would argue that it is now Indigenous Peoples Day. Many small businesses hope that that's the case this year after their worst summer ever. COVID-19 has been devastating for many businesses in Maine, especially restaurants and entertainment venues. And it's been hard on most others. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll check in with the Commissioner of the Maine Department of Economic and Community Development and the State Director of the Small Business Administration to get the big picture about the impact of the pandemic on Maine's small businesses. And we'll learn details about state relief funds. Deadlines for applications are due tomorrow. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The pandemic has hurt most small businesses in Maine. Well, a few have actually been doing well. Today, we're going to learn about how businesses are faring, especially during the summer tourism season. And we'll hear about state relief and other help for small business owners. My guest, Amy Bassett, who is director of the Maine District Office of the Small Business Association Administration, and Heather Johnson, commissioner of Maine's Department of Economic and Community Development. Thank you both for being on the program today. And Heather Johnson, I'm going to start with you. We know that there's another relief package that is made grants available to Maine small businesses. The deadline for that is tomorrow. Tell me about that. Who qualifies and how much can one business apply for?
So that is a $200 million grant program that is eligible to small businesses and nonprofits. So organizations that have 50 employees or fewer in 2020. And it's really designed to be a support mechanism. We recognize the significant impact that this pandemic has had on businesses across the board, but particularly on small businesses. And we want to make sure that they have, and nonprofits, we want to make sure that they have the opportunity to apply for some of this funding. And that application, as you said, is open through the end of the day tomorrow, Jennifer.
All right. I want to turn to you now and Amy and ask you for a big picture view. We know that Maine small businesses, as the SBA defines them, employees less than 500, which in Maine is a pretty big business, but we know that's 99.3% of the businesses in Maine. What are you hearing? What is the scenario out there? How many are in trouble now because of the pandemic?
Yes. So we have had, since this all started for us back with the CARES Act at the end of March and the programming available that SBA had, it certainly has, it's evolved. I think when it all started, no one thought it was going to be the longevity that it has been. So the impact has really evolved. And it also wasn't, that the length of closure and those types of things has really impacted businesses. So we are hearing from some that are just business as usual. Others are completely devastated, like have lost their entire revenue stream. So it's been really varied. And it really is, a lot of it is tied to the tourism industry, as you mentioned. Those businesses have been hit particularly hard. And we are doing whatever we can to try to give them some extra assistance.
We heard Heather Johnson tell us about the state's grant program, the one in which the deadline is tomorrow. And we do have information on our website and Facebook page about how to apply for those grants. But Amy, what else is out there? What else can small businesses do? Are there programs through SBA to help them?
Right. So a lot of our programs were early on in this, and a couple of them have actually sunsetted at this point. So the big one, I think, that most people are aware of, and over 28,000 businesses in Maine took advantage of, to the tune of $2.3 billion, was the Paycheck Protection Program. That program did close as of August 8th, and now many of those businesses are starting to think about the forgiveness part of this process. But when the program sunsetted on August 8th, there was still about $134 billion of funding in that program. So we are all sort of staying tuned to see if whether changes will be made and that may reopen or what may happen in that regard. And then with the economic injury disaster loan, many businesses applied early on, but that application is still open. That being said, and so far we've had about 17,000 of those approved in Maine for $53 million. But that program, because it's a nationwide declaration, there's over 14 million applications. And so it has been a tough go process-wise for a lot of Maine businesses there.
Heather, how many businesses have applied so far for this recent grant, the $200 million, the recent grant fund?
We have just about 2,400 applications right now. I don't know that most people, I think, apply to grants at the deadline, right? I think that when it's not a first-come, first-served program, people tend to wait till the last couple of days, make sure they get all the questions answered. And so what we're seeing today is a pretty significant volume coming in throughout the course of the morning. So I think what we'll see is our applications roll in today and tomorrow.
And when can a business that's approved for this grant expect to receive it?
We are expecting to disperse the funds through the economic development districts. So the seven economic development districts in the state will determine final eligibility and will also be dispersing the funds. We expect those to go out the first week in October.
All right. I want to ask you, both of you, what you're hearing from small businesses. Are you hearing that small businesses are able to figure this out? Are they the word that's completely overused during this pandemic, pivoting to serve their customers in different ways? Mm-hmm. Or are things really still quite bleak? I'll start with you, Amy.
Yes, I agree with you on that pivoting word. We are all using it too frequently. But honestly, small business owners, that's there in their nature, because they know that regardless of the times, they have to continually be evolving and, you know, developing their business. But this has certainly taxed them in trying to find new ways to do that. And some certainly are. Some, you know, unfortunately, the options are more limited. If they just can't open to capacity or they can't get the customers, they are really struggling with that. And we're hearing through our partners that there's a lot of groups out there trying to help them explore these options. But unfortunately, because we are such a tourist-based economy, a lot of it is, you know, the wall is kind of right there in front of them. So there, I think there is certainly definitely some panic at this point because, you know, tourism season is winding down for us.
Heather, you are the commissioner of the Department of Economic and Community Development. You are trying to develop business in Maine, trying to develop communities. What does this do? What does this pandemic do to the long-term planning that you were engaged in before it hit?
So, as you know, we released the statewide economic development plan in January, and then obviously in March, it started into this pandemic management piece. So now what we're doing in partnership with the Governor's Economic Recovery Committee is charting a path to some of the same elements of the economic plan. Well, I think what we'll find is the things that will help pull our economy out of this downturn are the same things that we knew we needed to do before it as well. If you think about diversification of industries, if you think about supporting small businesses, if you think about, you know, some of these strengths in our heritage industries like growing protein and fisheries and forest products, things like that, where we are already strong and have a great history and legacy there. And now there are lots of opportunities globally to create innovation and pull those industries forward. So, you know, I think a lot of that will be the long-term recovery work that the Governor's Economic Recovery Committee will work with us on. And then I think that there are some short-term things. As Amy said, there are some industries that, you know, have really been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic, you know, high service markets that, you know, will need additional kind of focus and help. Things like Hospitality Maine and the community college have partnered on workforce development and workforce training so that people know, you know, people can have some flexibility with their work and provide, you know, still provide great service in this different world. So, you know, I think there are some longer term visions that will help with the downturn, but then there are some real immediate short-term actions that we need to take as well.
On the line with us now, Steve Hewins, who is president and CEO of Hospitality Maine. Steve, thanks for calling in. We've talked about the fact that the tourism industry has been the hardest hit by COVID-19. And I know that restaurants in specific, especially, have been hit hard. We know that some really well-known restaurants in Portland, for example, have closed their doors for good, award-winning restaurants. What are the numbers across the state? How many restaurants have closed? And what are you hearing from those that have remained open?
Yeah, well, thanks, Jennifer. Yeah, there's a real struggle with restaurants and hotels and inns. So we don't want to forget them as well, hit by the lack of or the reduced numbers of tourists. With regard to restaurants, most are trying to eke their way through the summer to get as much as they can. But we expect a lot of restaurants, a lot more restaurants, to close as the season ends. And hopefully many of them will reopen. Maybe there'll be a new model move into a restaurant space, but it's been pretty much devastating for both hotels and restaurants. We'll know better when the July numbers come in from Maine Revenue Services in about a week. So we'll actually see what transpired during the month of July when the governor opened up more states to come here. But so far it's not been a good story. And, We push along. I will say one couple quick things is that August, though, was quite good across the state. A lot of people did come, and many of them were from the states that were allowed to come here without a test, mainly New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Many of those folks were all over the mid-coast and up into Mount Desert Island and that sort of thing. Labor Day was strong as well. I was in Rangeley, and it was very busy up there. And, of course, I looked for the protocols. And I went into the three different restaurants and everybody did things very well. So I think a lot of our people are really working hard to keep people safe as well.
I've had the same experience traveling around the state in the last couple of weeks. I've been up to the area around 100 Mile Wilderness and then out on Casco Bay on a ferry and seeing people really abiding by protocols, and also struck by what you are saying, that people are here. They are out there. It's hard to have a sense of how many more people or how many fewer people than this time last year. And what I'm wondering is, it seems as though there's a little bit of a trade-off that obviously fewer people generally are traveling, but is Maine particularly appealing to people who are worried about COVID but want to get away?
Oh, no question about it. I think the commissioner and I have actually talked about this. I think post-crisis, let's say, Maine's future is fairly strong relative to the issues that people are going to be looking for: safety, cleanliness, fresh food, fresh air, water. We have those elements. And I would argue that tourism is a heritage industry in the state as well. I mean, we've been doing it since about the 1820s. So I think the reason people came back then are the same reasons they're going to come in the future. And I think if we can get through this and save as many businesses as we can, we're positioned fairly well post-COVID.
Steve, what resources does Hospitality Maine have for businesses who are trying to operate during the pandemic?
Well, we are daily with a briefing with news and information for members. And we've actually added tons of businesses that aren't presently members because we're taking all comers right now because a lot of people need help. So we provide a lot of updated information. We've worked with Amy Bassett and the SBA and helping people get funding early on, as she was saying, back in March and April when people were signing on to the programs. We helped hundreds of businesses do the applications, as we are with the DECD's program that's out there now with about a day's deadline left. But and Commissioner Johnson mentioned our program with Eastern Maine Community College. I mean, we've had over 3,000 people pass the COVID-19 restaurant and hotel readiness programs. So in part, that's why these businesses are operating safely, because they've learned and we did some programs to help them educate themselves and educate their frontline employees specifically so they can remain safe.
And let me ask you that question finally. We're focused on today's program on the economics, but I do need to ask you about the safety. What are you hearing from the people who work in Maine's inns and hotels and restaurants? Mm-hmm. Are most staying well? Are most avoiding getting COVID-19?
Yeah, of course, the Big Moose Inn up in Millinocket, that kind of clouds everything right now. That was a terrible incident. But by and large, there are only a few instances where people have been infected in restaurants or hotels, especially hotels, which have been virtually untouched. But, you know, from a worker standpoint, we worry about those folks because they're on the front lines. And I even have written about this more recently, about them being the unsung heroes, really, of Maine's COVID summer of 2020, are those frontline restaurant and hotel workers who, you know, they've taken some heat, too. And I know the Retail Association of Maine and Portland Chamber came up with a, you know, be kind type of a program that's really helped, I think, as well, because it is tough to be on the front lines. We're in the people business. And when you can't deal with people the way you traditionally do, it upsets really everybody. And so it's been quite a challenge. But, you know, we're 6 months into this, and I think we're learning a lot of things. And we're, as I say, hopefully set up well for the future.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for calling in. That was Steve Hewins with Hospitality Maine. We're going to go to another call here. We'll go to Lizzie, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Lizzie. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is for Commissioner Johnson. So I am wondering about some of the restrictions on the grant program. Specifically, I'm interested in why child care centers aren't eligible. I know there has been other funding released to that industry, but I think it hasn't been enough to bail it out. And I'm pretty worried about it come fall. So just interested to hear that answer.
Commissioner?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the question. Certainly, I think we're all really focused on childcare, and right, childcare is a key part. Childcare and education are key parts of how parents can go back to work and get back into the workforce, and how kids can have these developmental opportunities that we all know that they need. So I think we're all concerned about that. Our understanding and our work with a couple of other departments are that there are a number of other programs designed to support childcare facilities and the expansion of childcare facilities, and a lot of these other sectors that have been very actively impacted haven't had any opportunities for path forward for viability. So I think that's why that decision was made. Certainly, I think we all want to keep an eye on that and make sure that we're supporting that infrastructure in an appropriate way.
Lizzie, thank you for your call, and good luck to you. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions for Amy Bassett with the Small Business Administration and Heather Johnson, Commissioner of Economic and Community Development. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Down East Acadia, inviting you to wash your cares away on its crystal clear lakes, streams, and rivers. Plan your next getaway at truemaine.net. Bristol Seafood's North Atlantic shrimp, caught in the wild and available ready to eat in the freezer at your local Hannaford. And Encore Renewable Energy, committed to fueling Maine's economic recovery with solar energy for businesses and institutions. Encore.eco.
The towns that host the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant in Japan once gained a lot from it. But years after one of the worst nuclear disasters in history, it's clear now how much they've lost.
This town needed nuclear. We coexisted with it, and now look at the town. We'll never be the same.
Reopening a nuclear exclusion zone this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And that's coming up later today at 4 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. And tonight at 9 on Maine Public Television, we'll air Frontline, Growing Up Poor in America. The program looks at the experience of child poverty against the backdrop of the pandemic and increasing racial tensions. Set in Ohio, the film follows children and their families navigating issues of poverty, homelessness, race, and new challenges due to COVID-19. That's Frontline on Maine Public Television tonight at 9 o'clock.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, how are small businesses in Maine doing as we close out the summer? My guest, Commissioner Heather Johnson with the Department of Economic and Community Development, and Amy Bassett, Maine District Director of the Small Business Administration. As always, we want to hear from you. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3567. 1-800-273-8866. Joining us now is Mike Fear. He is the owner of Now You're Cooking, a cook's emporium in Bath. Thanks for calling in, Mike.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call.
How has this business been? How has business been this summer for you?
I have to say that for us, it's been nothing short of amazing. We have obviously in March, everything shut down. We were in a bit of a panic, and we had to, as somebody said, pivot. And we were just doing curbside, and we did curbside for 3 months, and then we opened up. And our customers have just come back and just been so willing to come in and shop locally. Our sales have been really remarkable, and I feel embarrassed because I know that restaurants have suffered a little bit, but we have just really done very well.
Why do you think your business has done well despite all of the worry and all of the hesitation of people even go out into the public?
So I would say that the number one thing on my mind is the community is very thoughtful of local businesses. So shopping local has been a major thing. I think also people get stuck at home. They want to cook. And I think that our business is just perfect for that type of thing. And I also think that the town of Bath, the city of Bath, has been awesome about supporting each other. All the retailers support each other. We've got a great main street here. The city of Bath even put in sort of like more pedestrian ways. And I think when the customer sees the outreach from the retail organization in Bath, they've basically come and shopped. And we've been a beneficiary of that.
How have you been handling the public health guidelines for your staff and customers?
So we, if anybody wants to come into the store, they have to have a face covering over the nose and mouth. We have hand sanitizer. We keep only 10 people in the store. We have the space for 15, but we only allow 10 in. And we have a separate entrance and exit. And for the person who doesn't want to do that, we have curbside still. And we still do quite a bit of curbside. And the great thing is the respect of our customers, where they don't give us any pushback. In fact, they appreciate what we do.
And finally, have you been able to keep all of your employees on staff?
We have kept everybody. Initially, we had to let our employees stay at home, and we had five of us doing a lot of work when we were closed up. But we have kept everybody. They'd come back on as soon as we were able to bring them back in. And we've got a great bunch of employees. We've got, you know, one that's 82 years old, if you can believe it. And we've got, you know, one that's 17 years old. So we've got the whole range here. And yes, they've all wanted to come back.
Oh, wow. And how about the anxiety about COVID? Have they been nervous, and has everybody stayed healthy?
Everybody has stayed healthy. There was a lot of nervousness originally, but because they have, it's been a group effort trying to figure out how we do this, and everybody's had a weighed in on it, and I think they've seen how we're keeping them safe as well as keeping our customers safe.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for calling in, and so nice to hear your good news story. That was Mike Fear, the owner of Now You're Cooking Cookware Store in Bath. And before we go to other calls, Amy, I wanted to ask you, what in Mike's call strikes you?
So what really resonates is, you know, being from the Small Business Administration is, and as you said, 99.3% of businesses in Maine are small. I think everyone recognizes that we want our businesses to survive. And so we are doing whatever we can to support them in whatever regards. But it's heartening to hear that the communities really are rallying, and that the workers are feeling, you know, gaining confidence and feeling safer. I think those were some big hurdles initially. So that is tremendous. And it is great to hear those good news stories, because I think we get focused on the negative. So our responsibility upon us all is to get out those good news stories.
We'll go to Dennis, who's calling from Topsom. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Hello, Jennifer.
Yep, go ahead.
Hi, Amy, Jennifer, Heather. Thank you for having this show. I'm a self-employed commercial photographer and have been for 40-some-odd years here in Maine, along with my wife, Diana. And I am just curious if you might have a handle on how large is the financial need based on Maine's assessment of lost income that might affect business over the next few years. And also, do you have a sense of what number of small business in Maine will fail? And then I'm also curious about, you know, given that the vast majority of Maine small businesses owners have overhead expenses, which may very well exceed their ability to survive.
I'll go to you first, Heather.
So then I think you outline a lot of really good questions and things that are being worked on. Actually, I think Steve Hewins earlier mentioned that next week we'll have sales tax results from July, and that will give us a good sense. One of the great things about Maine, and you heard it a little bit with Mike, is people are buying locally and making really conscious decisions about how and where they spend money. Consumer spending is only off, isn't off as much as we had originally thought it might be. And from January, consumer spending's off a little over 1%. So then the look is kind of how are we spending that money? And so that's one of the pieces. One of the other interesting pieces is the small business network in Maine and small business resources like the SBA and SBDC and some others, and the Maine lending institutions, credit unions, banks, CFPIs, others that are really supporting these small businesses, right? Finding creative ways to do loan deferments, finding, you know, alternatives for businesses on, you know, how they can, you know, restructure their current situation to really help them through this. So I think it's an effort that we are all in together, and we're really seeing different pieces play out. But local Maine lending institutions have done a great job, I think, trying to find path forward for businesses.
And Amy, I'll toss this to you. Do we have a sense of the overall cost to small businesses of this pandemic and how many businesses will in the end fail?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have that type of data in the subsets in the programs that we have. I know amongst ourselves and our direct partners and our indirect business service provider network that those are who we're focused on, doing as much outreach as we can, connecting any struggling business with that one-on-one advising. Most of the time that can be offered at no cost. But that is really the focus of what we are working on at this point in time.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. We're going to go now to Kip Stone, who's owner of Cool as a Moose with locations in Portland, Brunswick, and Bar Harbor. Thanks for calling in, Kip.
Oh, Jennifer, thanks for having me.
Your stores sell Maine-themed gifts and apparel geared to tourists who come to Maine. Have you seen a change in business since the start of the COVID crisis?
Well, obviously we were shut down by mandate from May and most of June. So that fortunately was not the peak of our season, but still those shoulder seasons, you know, allow us to get started and get rolling, and we lost that. So, yes, we've had significant, you know, reduction of revenue. But I would like to echo what Mike had to say. First of all, I'm one of his big customers, but the towns that we're in Bar Harbor, especially Bar Harbor, and we're also in Provincetown, Mass, have done just an incredible job of laying out a welcome mat for everybody. And, the number of people in the store, limited number of people in store, in some ways has worked in our favor because our staffing, which was greatly reduced by, you know, the J1s not coming in, suddenly we don't need that many staff, and just as people patiently waiting to get in.
So when you talk about the J1s, you mean that fewer people are working in your stores that have come from other countries, but that's worked out all right because you have fewer customers at a time.
At any one given time, there's only a handful of people in the store, and so the reduction of revenue has been largely matched by reduction in payroll. And the other thing is that payroll is staying much more local than in the past. So There's some silver linings here. I mean, obviously, this is not the summer that we were gearing up for or wish to repeat, but there's a lot of optimism out there. And especially as time is going on and the great fear of out-of-staters coming in and leaving, you know, bringing COVID with them, that hasn't materialized. And for us and our organization, just the greater confidence in the protocols, the greater confidence in all the rules that at first it wasn't clear they were going to work at all. They really is working. It really is working.
Mm. And finally, I want to ask you, are you one of the businesses who is going to apply for the state relief funds? Is this helpful to you?
Oh, my gosh. When that came out, wow, what an incredible thing. Unfortunately, it looks like I also own a screen printing company, Artforms, and together the two companies, it looks like we just don't quite fit into the framework of the thing. So, and that's okay. We're doing fine. I know there are a lot of smaller businesses that really, really, really need as much help as possible. And we've benefited from the PPP, from the SBA. I can't take my hat off enough time for SBA postponing and even paying mortgage payments. It's really incredible. And piecing it all together, it's been a project, but here we are, and we're looking forward to shifting gears going into next summer.
All right. Well, Kip, good to have you on the show. Kip Stone, owner of Cool as a Moose, both the manufacturing and retail business. We'll go to Bob, who's calling from Owl's Head. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. I run a business that lives 100% on tourism, and we had an absolutely horrible May and June, and we're told that we couldn't even sail boats because I run a charter boat until July. And so July came along and we did okay, but probably off 75%. But in August, we did pretty well. Not nearly as good as in years past, but I am applying for the loans or the grants that'll be due tomorrow. And I'm curious, are they going to factor that into the tourist industry, which makes most of its money in July and August?
Heather?
So, Bob, thanks for the question. One of the things, the framework of the grant program is set up to look at historical years. So it takes your 12 months and averages it. So it will include your peak months as well as some other months, and we'll create an average for you. In 2020, we had to have a cutoff time so that there was a trackable and auditable number that Maine Revenue Service could use to audit these applications to make sure that we're being very responsible with, obviously, taxpayer funds. And so the cutoff is in June. And so what will happen is they'll take an average of those first 6 months. Now, your revenue in the first 6 months of the year will be significantly lower than your average revenue of other years. So for seasonal businesses, this framework is actually is fairly helpful.
Good.
Bob, thanks for your question and good luck to you. If you have a question for Heather Johnson, who's Commissioner of Economic and Community Development, or Amy Bassett with the Small Business Administration, if you're a small business owner and want to weigh in on how it's going this summer, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. If you hurry, you can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or tweet @MainCalling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from New England Cancer Specialists, proud to be a member of the Dana-Farber Cancer Care Collaborative and committed to helping patients achieve their best outcome. And Breakwater, inviting you to learn more about their outdoor learning spaces and plans for the school year. school.breakwaterlearning.org.
Brigadier General Joshua Chamberlain was born in Brewer on September 8, 1828. Chamberlain was commissioned a lieutenant colonel in the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment in 1862. He became commander of the regiment in June 1863 On July 2nd, during the Battle of Gettysburg, Chamberlain's regiment occupied the extreme left of the Union lines at Little Round Top. Chamberlain's men withstood repeated assaults from the 15th Regiment Alabama Infantry and finally drove the Confederates away with a downhill bayonet charge. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his gallantry. He later served 4 one-year terms of office as the 32nd Governor of Maine and later was President of Bowdoin College.
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Marshall Communications. Happy birthday, Maine! The Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus is on a twice-a-week schedule, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On these 2 days, it will normally happen at about 2 o'clock each weekday afternoon. Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page will all bring it to you live. In addition, the briefings are archived at MainePublic.org for later on-demand viewing or listening. Just choose the television drop-down. Again, Maine's CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw and others is normally scheduled for Tuesdays and Thursdays each week and carried here on Maine Public Radio, as well as Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today's topic, small businesses in Maine, how they're doing and how they can get help during the pandemic. Joining me, Amy Bassett with the Maine's Small Business Administration. She's the director. And Heather Johnson, the commissioner of the Maine Department of Economic and Community Development. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to John, who's calling from Ellsworth. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Thank you so much for the information as well. There's a lot of changes going on, and it's sometimes hard to get the right information. So I guess Maine Public and your show especially has been really great. I just wanted to bring up, we're in a unique situation being a small business, but also a brewery. We're a manufacturer. We also have a bar, which because of licensing, we're not allowed to open indoors at this time. We also have a small staff, production and bartending, to serve outdoor beers, and we also have a distribution network. So we're constantly sort of triaging to try to figure out what's the most important thing. Is it applying for a grant? Is it keeping our staff safe? Is it keeping our customers safe? What would be really helpful at this time, I think, is sort of help from our municipality, help from Ellsworth, in giving us information and letting visitors and locals alike know that, you know, the best practices for managing COVID, wearing a face mask and keeping social distances. It seems like we are sort of a poster child in our town, along with several businesses which are trying to enforce these face mask wearing things. And it's really stressful on our staff, which is not necessarily trained in enforcing these types of things.
I can imagine, John. Yeah. Amy, do you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I know. Well, regarding there's a lot of information and a lot of loans and grants and what's the best option for a particular business. I do want to make sure there's a lot of business advising services, but those funded through the SBA, the Maine Small Business Development Center, SCORE, and the Women's Business Center at CEI, all can offer one-on-one business advising to a business owner to help you kind of do some of that exploring of particularly help getting financial assistance, because there's so many things that business owners have to think about at this point in time. Those resources are out there. They have their online advising, a lot of webinars, and that can be really helpful in helping small businesses navigate a lot of this information.
Okay, so SCORE, the Maine Small Business Development Center, and CEI. We'll be sure and get some links on our Facebook page and web page. As I like to say, people don't usually listen to the radio with the pen, but that way they can get that information later. Joining us on the line now, Sandra Accazelli. She is general manager at 302 West Smokehouse and Tavern in Fryeburg. Hi, Sandra. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about your restaurant and who your typical customers are. Do you get many tourists?
We do get many tourists, especially during the summer season. We have a very small building. It was small before the pandemic restrictions hit, but we do typically this time of year see a lot of out-of-town visitors.
What are you doing right now? Do you have patio seating?
We do. We recreated our entire dining room and system, and we created a large takeout picnic area in our lower parking lot, basically eliminating some of the parking, but we put out a lot of picnic tables so that our takeout operation was expanded greatly, which has really helped us weather this storm financially.
How's it going?
It's been crazy and hectic, but it's going very well. We for sure had to make a lot of changes and really think fast and do things quickly and try to adapt a lot. We've had a great summer. It's been very busy. We often feel like we're three different restaurants with takeout operation, our regular in-house. We've got a large takeout area, but also people just calling to pick up and take food with them. So it has been it's been quite a summer.
How does it compare with last year?
Well, we have no bar business to speak of, where normally we do. We have a tavern, very much a tavern feel about us. So that has been very limiting, but our food sales have been fantastic. And people are definitely here. We're in a border town with Mount Washington Valley, North Conway. So our business has done very well, and we feel lucky and blessed to have the business that we do have.
Well, we're starting to have some cool nights. What are you planning to do as you go into the fall and cooler weather?
We've talked a lot about that, and there's not a lot we can do. Our seating restrictions will remain in place where we only have 5 tables indoors. We used to have almost 14 plus a bar. So our plan is to, once again, cut staffing a lot by more than 50% and really rely on our takeout operation. We did have a great thriving takeout operation right away in March. It carried us through March, April, May until we had patio business and outdoor business again.
And are those the biggest challenges, staffing, or are there others that are even bigger than that?
Staffing has been an issue. I think that's the same case everywhere in every restaurant. I think that the biggest challenge for us has just been recreating our systems and what we do and what our focus is. We've, you know, had to go from takeout only to and modify that for some outdoor dining and then indoor dining and a huge takeout area. And it has been hard to constantly recreate those, and we will maybe be more prepared to do it again come October, November, when we don't have that patio seating. And we're looking towards some delivery and takeout options for people.
What would help you at this point? What would you like to hear from either the state or from Congress?
Well, I think that it's difficult, of course, being business owners and managing businesses would love to hear that things are going to go back to normal and we'll be at full capacity. But taking into account the safety of our staff and all of our valued customers and everybody, I honestly think they're doing the best they can, and we have to be able to roll with the punches and hope for the best.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. I understand you're busy right now, so we're going to let
no,
you go.
Actually,
Sandra Accozzelli, who's general manager of 3O West Smokehouse and Tavern in Fryeburg. Thanks so much for calling in, Sandra. We're going to go to Kim, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Good. Hang on a second. I do not own a small business, but I live in Rockland. Is a small town, and we're a tourist town. And I've seen a lot of out of town plates. And it seems like the folks from out of state are the ones that are doing the masking and the. I'm listening to myself on the phone.
Oh yeah. You need to turn your radio down, Kim.
Okay, let me go to the other one and do that. Okay. And the distancing, it's very slow. It's been a very slow start here.
So you're telling me that Rockland, even though it has done so many things, including closing off some streets and trying to have a lot of outdoor seating, it's still pretty slow there?
We don't have the festivals, so that's kind of hard for the businesses. I understand that, but most businesses that I tend to are open. I volunteer at Soup Kitchen, and we have quite a few people coming to Soup Kitchen and the food pantries and whatnot. I deal with food, so. But
okay.
Everybody, it seems like everybody except the locals are the ones that are taking precautions.
All right. Well, Kim, thank you for calling in and for, for calling in with your perspective. Heather, I know that you're not with the CDC, but are you hearing similar things from businesses and communities throughout Maine that the tourists are the ones who are being careful and that locals are not?
You know, I think we're hearing different things across the state. We have, I think the tourists are very aware that travel is something that everybody on all sides is focused on. And people that are coming to Maine as tourists are coming knowing that this is a really safe place to come right now, and they want to be part of that solution. When tourists come to Maine, a significant number of them come back. And part of that is because they start to feel connected to these communities that they stay in. They start to feel connected to kind of Maine and the assets that we have. And they feel a certain amount of responsibility this season, I think, in helping to protect that. And so really what we've seen is a pretty responsible and engaged tourism group that's here. And I think the businesses have done a great job to help support that. You know, across the state, you will see potentially a little bit of varied support for some of the protocols and execution of some of the protocols. I think in general, businesses are very focused on keeping their employees and their customers safe and are doing the best they can to try to do that.
We just have a few minutes left in the program, and I want to spend that time talking about how what we've been through might change the small business community, the way small businesses operate in the long term. And I wonder, Amy, if you see a future in which some of the laws that have been lifted, for example, people being able to take out alcohol, things like that, are some laws that might stay lifted and that business may be a little bit different in the future.
I certainly think that could be the case. I think everyone, you know, from wherever you are, whether you're a small business owner or whether you're sitting where we're sitting, realizes that we need to start helping small businesses, you know, build a little, think about having a little more in reserve, think about already having some other diversification plans. I think there's going to certainly be a lot of lessons learned from this. And I think we will all collectively, business owners and all of us in this space, be thinking about this for a long time as how we can kind of buffer against this in the future.
And Heather, I'm wondering if it might accelerate some of the changes that you and those that you work with have been wanting to happen. I'm thinking about internet connectivity as the big one, of course, but some other changes as well. Is this going to accelerate the plans that were going to be long-term plans?
I think it will. You know, I think this kind of modern infrastructure has become really clear, right? Real estate in Maine right now is a hot commodity. People are looking at second homes or potentially even now that remote work has become just a mainstay for all of us, living wherever they choose. And they'll choose here, right? We have the best quality of life. And so people can have their job and live here too, right? As long as we can give them the modern infrastructure it takes to do that, I think we'll see real success in growth in telework and some of those others. We've talked about telecommuting for a long time, but it's hard to make that kind of shift, I think. But as we all made it together, businesses, industries, government had to make that shift together early on. Now it's pretty easy. You know, I talk to a lot of people who say, I'll never work in an office 5 days a week again. And that gives them a lot of flexibility about where they live. So I do think, and we heard Kip talk about some silver linings, right? We're all learning a little bit through this process. And as we learn things that work and maybe are even more effective, like these local networks of how supportive businesses are of each other, Kip brought this up, but I was talking to a business this weekend and said, look, we really struggled in March and April, but we've rebounded now and we're doing okay. Certainly maybe not where they would have been otherwise, but they're doing okay. And their intent was not to apply for the grant because they wanted to leave it for somebody who really needed it in order to stay viable. And so those are the stories, I think, that show this great Maine, you know, these small businesses in Maine and the resiliency and their ability to kind of work together and for Maine consumers to think about how we spend money and support those businesses in this process.
I'll squeeze in one more call. This is Heather in Woolwich. Hi, Heather. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I am with the Kennebec Company, Cabinet Makers and Designers in Bath. We're a small business that actually functions probably at least half of the time outside of Maine. We have a lot of people who come and visit us from New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New York. These days, we make sure that we provide sanitizer and masks, but we also provide order-in food for people who usually come from Massachusetts just for a day trip, and we'll keep them from, we'll you know, support local businesses, but keep it safe in-house. The other part of this is that I want to make sure that everybody knows that the PPP really, really helped this business. The financial assistance and forgiveness has been great. The business, we were just rolling out a new affordable line of cabinetry at the time when the COVID hit, and this helped us pull through, and now we're doing really well.
Oh, wow. Well, Heather, thank you for calling in from Woolwich, and good luck to you, the Kennebec Co. in Bath. Heather will be our last call tonight. I want to thank both of you, Amy Bassett from the Small Business Administration and Heather Johnson, Commissioner of Economic and Community Development, for joining us here today on Maine Calling. A lot of resources mentioned on the program. We'll be sure and get those on our Facebook page and our web page. And Heather, really quickly, tomorrow is the deadline to apply for a grant. Who qualifies?
So businesses with 50 or fewer employees who have had a significant financial impact due to business disruption due to COVID.
All right. And that's by midnight tomorrow, right?
Well, we'd encourage you to do it as soon as possible. We are seeing the number of applications per hour really start to increase. So sooner is better.
Okay, great. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.